And he joins us weekly on this show, Bernie Kosar, the quarterback. Well, Bernie, the news, the big news about Colt McCoy being traded to the San Francisco 49ers. Your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, to hear it right now, I have pretty mixed opinions. At the end of the day, Colt McCoy is probably the best thing for his career right now. I'm not sure if he'll realize that. Obviously, going out to Frisco in a year that Colin Kaepernick had, it's not going to be a quarterback competition. He's resigned himself that he's going to be a backup. And given the way some of the things have gone, I think it's the best thing for him. But I would like to really say, whether I like Colt McCoy or not as a quarterback, whether we think he's the greatest quarterback ever or not, I really do admire and like the way he handled himself last year in a real, real tough situation with, you know, another change for him and not Brandon Wheaton coming in. And you know he didn't like it. You know he wanted to play. But he didn't. He really did a good job of keeping himself quiet and not complaining internally or publicly. And that's not as easy to do as maybe some people may think.
No, I totally agree with that. I think he did handle that pretty well, and it was more than a difficult situation for him. Let's talk again about the opportunity. As you said, this is really ideal because he's not going out there to challenge Colin Kaepernick for the starting job. That is Colin Kaepernick's coming off that Super Bowl season. But he is there to at least possibly give the 49ers a solid number two, a guy with some level of experience and young enough still to grow and develop with that program. So I think from that standpoint, it's good. And then this really was the other shoe that was dropping for the Browns, because when you look at the Jason Campbell acquisition last week, we talked about the physical prototype that Jason Campbell is coming to the Browns, big physical guy, big arm kind of guy, really the right fit for what this North Turner, Rob Chudzinski offense is all about, and obviously a much better fit than Colt McCoy would be.
Well, I think, again, Colt McCoy, some people may even challenge my last statement, but really the last couple issues publicly that caused him some duress was by his family, his father, I think, and his brother, at different occasions kind of talking stuff inappropriately and incorrectly that put the burden on Colt. And God knows I know how that happens within families sometimes. So that type for him to go out there is such a blessing, because in the NFL, almost with 32 teams, I think last year in the last couple of years, that's been averaging about 57 to 64 quarterbacks starting games in the NFL per season. So with the injuries, yeah, it doesn't look like he's going to play much out there, but it's a long football season. Colin Kaepernick runs the ball quite a bit, and it's going to start taking some hits even more so now that people have the whole offseason to study this read option that he and RG3 were so successful with last year. And for Colt McCoy to be out there on a loaded football team that is championship caliber, it's what we talked about a month ago or whenever when Phil Dawson decided to try to go out there. If he does get the chance to play with phenomenal weapons, a tough running game, and a tough, hard-nosed team, this could give him his best chance for success. Just vice versa, like you said with Jason Campbell,
yeah.
Big, tough quarterback. You know, he's been under the radar a lot through his career, and in the last 7-8 years, he's the only quarterback that's had any success winning football games in the abyss up in Oakland. So, yeah, he got hurt towards the middle part of that season. They ended up pulling off that Carson Palmer trade, which unfortunately Mike Brown did such a good job. The Bengals are benefiting by that. So I do like the way it's all kind of piecing together from those specific standpoints.
Yeah, and when you put it together, of course, the two former Browns Longhorns, McCoy, Dawson, out in San Francisco, reunited. They were good friends on this team, and there's some poetic justice there, I guess. But to the bigger point of his opportunity to play, Colin Kaepernick is going to be exposed to hits. So you, if you're the 49ers, you'd better have something that you can rely on to put in there. And that's how I saw McCoy. I saw him as the reliable guy that you put in off the bench. I didn't see him really being a consistent starter. People will argue that he didn't have enough opportunity. I'm not so sure about that, Bernie. I think he had opportunity to demonstrate what he's about. Now, sustainable, you know, more games, more time with a better supporting cast, would that paint a different picture? I'm not so sure. I think what we saw, the skill set, there are limitations. I think he sees the game, sees the field well, knows his craft well, puts his work into it. He's a good student of the game, obviously. But in terms of physical talent, I think there were just some things that he maybe couldn't overcome physically that would allow him to be a long-term starter in this league.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And again, I am not at all coming down on Colt McCoy and for the fans
there.
Look, to be a consistent, sporadic starter in the NFL and to be a solid, top-tier backup quarterback in the NFL is absolutely not degrading anybody who has a career like that. I look at guys like Don Strock, guys that have, and we can name names of guys who back up and played some in the league at starter, but more so as backing up. It's incredibly tough to do. It's incredibly valuable. And you never know when you're going to need those type of situations. And all teams need that type of player. And Colt was, you know, an incredible player as youth and high school, and then the college career. But you hit it right on the head. You know, physically and the way the game is changing, and playing in the Midwest, just like when I coming down on Charles on Matt Barkley last week's show. It's tough to play when you can't drive it through the wind and have that real tight spiral. And given sometimes being smaller, taking some of those hits with his athleticism, where he has speed, where his game used to be about sometimes 8 to 12 times a game, making plays with your feet, moving outside the pocket, running out there on those bootlegs, it makes it incredibly challenging to be at that other level of quarterback play.
Now, and you said on this show, you've said to me multiple times, you can carve out a really nice living as a backup quarterback in this league. It is nothing to sneeze at. You could make a very good living financially. You could carve out a nice spot for your career. No, it isn't the glory thing, but it's the thing that has to be filled on every team. And
Colt
McCoy's perfect for it.
And Vic, yes to the living and the business component of it, but even better than that, it is important. Now, is it the most important part, like the Colin Kaepernick playing last year or the play we'd like to get out of our quarterback? No. But it is valuable, even more so from a business standpoint, because Colt McCoy will not be getting a ton of reps, especially given the new rules within the CBA. And to have a quarterback that has the vision, intelligence, to be able to step in at a moment's notice in the third quarter of an important game when your star quarterback, the franchise, Kaepernick, goes down, is a nice feeling to have. And a lot of those teammates, you don't want to let your teammates down. Just like we were talking about forming a team, forming that family, he could be a player within that system for sure.
He is Bernie Kosar, the quarterback, joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, a lot going on the quarterback carousel in this offseason. In the course of a few days, a lot of movement. It starts with Buffalo picking up Kevin Cobb from Arizona, signing him to a two-year deal. And I guess it answers the question that they had in Buffalo about what they're going to do post Ryan Fitzpatrick, but probably not in a dramatic way. I'm not even sure if it's a solution beyond a year, because this is not a big-armed guy, and you need that same type of weather you have in Cleveland. Of course, you deal with in Buffalo's stadium. So as you look at it right now, what are your thoughts on that move?
Well, I think it's good for Kevin Cobb. I kind of concur with you. trying to think, be nice or politically right there, but I just think this is an off-season move for Buffalo. I'm not sure if Kevin Cobb's going to get them to the promised land, and if I was them, I'd probably plan on picking high again next year.
Well, and then you wonder about the draft, and this could have certainly impacted the Browns holding that sixth pick, just in terms of if teams need to move around to try to get quarterbacks or want to move around. And it was thought that Buffalo would be in the market for a quarterback with their eighth pick. Obviously, they can still do that, but you would think less now that they're going to be pursuing a quarterback that high or in the first round. And you wonder how maybe other teams are going to react to this too with, okay, Cobb ends up in Buffalo. You've got Matt Flynn from Seattle ending up now with Oakland. And then the last shoe that's expected to drop would be Carson Palmer moving from Oakland over to Arizona. So that movement, you wonder how all of that influences the perception of quarterbacks in the draft. Does it say that no team that needs a quarterback thinks that there's a real answer in the draft, or do they still like the answers in the draft, but they want to get one of these more accomplished people on their roster?
Yeah, a lot of these moves, it could and should be a combination of both of those. But I do think for sure that, and it's been well stated nationally, locally, by me and you publicly and privately, that this year's draft doesn't add up to like last year's draft does in terms of quarterback play. And even more specifically, quarterback play of guys that are ready to step in and play right now. Now, that's probably not a fair analysis comparing last year's dream crop of QBs, because that was overly exceptional. But to have so many rookie quarterbacks starting again this year from the draft, I don't think it's really plausible. That being said, I still think these teams that we just talked about, these four or five teams that are making moves, are still going to overanalyze the quarterbacks in the draft, because bluntly, none of the guys we're talking about are guys that I think are going to be top-tier quarterbacks and in turn make their team a top-tier team. So with the rookie draft pick quarterbacks not really being able to come in and start right away, you could still, if these teams or any team falls in love with a quarterback that they really think has a bright future, they don't have to throw him into the fire right away, and these stopgap appearing quarterbacks could play for a year or so to see when these draft pick kids could be ready to potentially take over for him.
Now, just want to flip topics to the offseason program, the Browns beginning today. Because Rob Chudzinski is a first-year head coach, they get this head start with this program these first couple of weeks. No football activity, Bernie, but players, a lot of them are in the building, really great attendance to work out with Brad Rohl, the strength and conditioning coach of the Browns, to go through their paces and figure out where everybody is in his respective conditioning partner, and also do some orientation, like some classroom stuff, like the first day of school type of thing. And I'll tell you what really impressed me was being there in the cafeteria around lunchtime. And I'd never seen as many players really kind of gathered at once for one reason. One obvious reason is there's a new company that's serving lunch, and the lunch options have gotten incredibly great and upgraded with a lot of the healthy choices that I know are important for players and such conditioning-wise. They should be important for all of us. But they're in there, and it's nice that there aren't those styrofoam containers to take out, so the players have their plates, and it basically forces everyone sit at a table and get together and either mingle with each other as players or talk with coaches, but build that team concept.
Well, I really, really concur and love little things like this. And I don't want to get over philosophical or over dramatic, but if I could suggest to all of us to slow down a little bit and think and spend time together and not always feel like we have to rush and do things. And this type of family environment, even a simple thing like this with the food, where there's healthier choices, things that you sit and players, coaches, the scouts, front office, trainers, equipment guys, when you spend time together, now you have your family from blood, like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, from the Easter holidays and what you're kind of born into, but almost your family of choice when you have a football team like this. To really be a top-tier team, to really, I think, get to the promised land, to be able to stick together through adversity, these little things that don't seem like that big a deal. Maybe even some people listening out here, to me, is a big deal. And you spend time together, you hang out together, you eat together, you go to battle together on Sunday afternoon, and it's something that I really, really enjoy hearing about. And getting started, even though you're not throwing passes on days like this, when you're just starting early, where you're doing with a new staff and new people around and new players like this, that you're getting to know each other, the sooner the better, till you develop these bonds, I really think helps you pay off dividends later in the year.
And as you said, Bernie, it's a small thing. I mean, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, just replacing, say, a to-go container with a plate. But it ends up, I think, paying bigger dividends because there's a lot of newness to this team, obviously on the coaching staff especially, but also some new players, new faces, and you saw them, and that's noticeable. And obviously guys have their comfort zones, guys that they've known for a few years that have been together. Not that this is an old team, but even the players from last year are pretty much familiar with guys that they were here with last year. But now you got some new people and new people in the building, and as you said, it's just – slow it down a little bit. Just, you don't have to always rush. And this applies to non-football people too. I mean, you don't always
Absolutely.
Have to rush into your little corner. And I'm as guilty of that as anyone. You're always thinking, okay, got to get this ready for the show, got to get this ready for the blog. And you don't think for a second that, you know what, it's a nice thing here if you spend a little time. And you know, you're talking with especially some of the other members of the coaching staff, hey, how was the weekend, your holiday weekend, what did you do with the family, and little things like that I think go a long way.
Yeah, and even taking it a step further too, that it does go a long way, and not paying attention to small things. I was talking to a group of guys a week ago about if you don't do little things right, if you skip little details, if you don't have an attention to detail, typically you're going to make mistakes in bigger things too. And you're not maybe going to be aware of some of them. And when you're able to have some personal pride in yourself of being around and doing things right, I think it's just another part of stuff that you figure out about your teammates, you figure out about the people around you, figure out about people you work with. And it just allows you to take another step and maybe trying to be the personal pride of getting things right and getting a bond and getting a group of guys together that want to go and work towards a common cause.
No doubt. Bernie, great, and appreciate you taking the time as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. See you at the end of the week.
All right. He is Bernie Kosar joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.